ladies and gentlemen, let's bring ourselves to order here. One of your folks is getting ready to speak. We want to hear what she has to say. And your name is?
My name is Laura Wolf. I live on 11913 Hazlitt Road in Governor's Community. Mm-hmm. Thank you for letting me speak to you. I know it's been a long afternoon. I was one of several petitioners who went around for about 2 weeks and gathered over 370 signatures, right. And that is posted as one of your exhibits. In Governor's, we have a speed limit of 21 miles per hour. We also have multiple stop signs throughout the community. We have stop signs that are placed specifically near the bus stops where there's about 20 elementary school kids, parents with dogs, walking them to and from the bus stops. We know occasionally our neighbors may not abide by that speed limit and they may go through a stop sign, but we know who they are. We're a close-knit community and we have a recourse. We can knock on their door and ask them to please slow down, be cognizant of when the school bus lets off, be careful, you know, when the kids play hockey in the summer in the street. We also have a mantra in Governor's that homeowners are responsible for their guests. So if my son or daughter-in-law or my next-door neighbor's son or daughter-in-law drive somewhat recklessly, again, we can go and knock on the door and say, hey, please ask them to slow down, you know, for the safety of the community. But if you open our roads to diverted traffic, we have no recourse for reckless drivers. And I guarantee you that people will be speeding through our community. And it's not just Stockley Road, which is affected. Stockley Road leads directly into the circle, which leads to our pickleball courts, to our playground, to our pool, to our clubhouse. Right across from the playground is my neighbor with three little kids, and you see them scooting across to get to the playground. In the summer times, Governor's is hopping in the summer, and we have guests oftentimes have to park on the street just because, you know, the houses are built for guests and we have such great amenities. And those, when you park on the street, that even reduces the visibility further for small bikers and small kids on scooters. We have no issue. In fact, we welcome interconnectivity for cyclists, for pedestrians. We have elderly neighbors who love to sit in the driveway, watch the kids play in the street, watch the kids bike, learning how to ride a bike, walking on the street. But what they're not interested in doing is sitting in the driveway and watching cars speed by. That's not the spirit of interconnectivity. And that's all I have to say. Thank you for listening to me.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you. Thank you. Okay, who's next?
Hi, my name is Derek Hughes. I'm a member of the Board of Directors of the HOA for Governor's, and I live on Collins Road in Governor's. Our major concern, as has been pointed out, has been safety, but in the back of my head, I'm thinking, we have roads that are built for 400-plus houses. We don't have roads built for public throughway. So what happens if we all of a sudden have a line of cars coming down Stockley, going around our circle, and going out Governor's Boulevard all day, because any time in the day, beginning of school, middle of the day, whenever the ferry lands, we have a line of traffic up Kings Highway and down Kings Highway from Crooked Hammond. It's just bumper to bumper. To get through that intersection, it's a waiting game, as was mentioned before. But if we were open it, now we've got a highway through our private roads. Who pays for those? Can we make those roads public so that we don't have to pay for them, care for them, police them? We have no alternatives to do that. That's my only question. Anybody have a question for me? Thank you.
All right, thank you. Yes, sir.
Hi, my name is Jeff Irwin. I live on 12161 Collins, and I'm going to talk as concisely as I can about something that's extremely important, the designs of our roads. We talked about a lot, council for the developer talked about the entrance. I'd like to guide your eyes down Stokely to that roundabout. And as you all know, all of road criteria is based on one of four classifications. We're a subdivision road. None of the parameters around our streets are for collector. You can go out with any tape measure and read the what you all read all the time, probably, the DelDOT Road Design Manual from 2022. It addresses a lot of good parameters, but it does not specifically include in that manual anything about roundabouts. Instead, it refers to the Ashto Green Book and the Highway Traffic Study 672. Those are throughout all states. Those are the most prominent things used right now for roundabouts. And when you design a roundabout, we'll just take the typical urban roundabout. You pick the vehicle that's the largest, that's frequently traveling in that neighborhood to build that roundabout, the width and the curvature of the road. And typically, that's what's called a DL23. You don't need to know what that is. It's simply a FedEx or UPS truck. Our road, based on the curvature and the angle, does not even support a UPS or a FedEx truck. It's not two lanes either, like most of these urban traffic circles. We're in luck, though, with UPS and FedEx, because as you all may know, they never turn left. They use an Orion navigation system that always tells them to turn right. So you'll never see in our neighborhood, even if they come from Stokely, they will turn right. Their route will take them somewhere else. But when you take all that traffic off of Kings Highway and all vehicular traffic, all kinds of buses and construction vehicles, they're not even going to be able to crawl through that, the size of that roundabout of ours. Look past the roundabout, see what's to the right of it, that little field where all our little kids pile their bicycles up when they go to the pool in the summer. You're going to have vehicles going outside the roundabout, inside the roundabout. Roundabouts are constructed also to have different kinds of devices between the lanes, separate traffic in the middle that are designed to have places where trucks can go if they can't fit. We don't have that. We can't have that. It won't fit. So hope that was concise and to the point.
I got a question for you.
Yes, ma'am.
Are you suggesting that a fire truck couldn't get through there either?
I'm suggesting a fire truck would probably go the wrong way on purpose, to the left, because the angle, the turning angle, the Schwepp angle, going to the right around it will not suffice. He'll put on his siren. If he's going down Stokely, he'll go left against traffic before the roundabout. That's how a big, large emergency vehicle would do that.
You neglected to mention the straight through the roundabout, not using the actual pavement, because that also is a precedent set.
Well, are you talking about down the street here where you've had precedents on the roundabout?
Oh, that's happened here. It's happened, yes, everywhere that roundabouts are.
Well, I wouldn't want them to go through our roundabout. They're going right into our community center.
Yeah, and the location of the community center, I imagine, is one of the challenges that you're probably concerned about.
Yeah,
right?
I mean, the bottom line is I heard working assumption was that this intra-connectivity, because that's what it is, it's not interconnectivity. If we're proposing to go to Kings Highway, it's intra, it's like intrastate. It's letting people external come in. If they would have known that when they built this road, they would have never built that roundabout to these specifications it's at right now. This would be danger waiting to happen. It's enough right there to say this whole thing, this 4 hours, whatever it was, I'm sorry I didn't talk first, but this is outlandish. Good question. Any other questions?
I guess my only comment, maybe this is a question for Mr. Whitehouse, because our code says that roundabouts shall be designed to accommodate a ladder truck entering, exiting, and traveling around the roundabout and be subject to the approval of the state fire marshal. So the fire marshal signed off on all these plans, I would imagine. They would have had to have.
Correct, and they would have been inspected during construction. I am curious as to what the perceived construction standard is. Technical. The gentleman appears to have... So, if I may, in addition, so do you know what the structural number is of the road and what standard it was built to? Is that your testimony?
Yeah, I can measure the curvature and the width.
No, sir, hold on. You need to stand in front of that microphone.
Yes, sir.
Do not move.
Thank you, Mr.
Okay, do not move.
Not specifically for this. Did I measure that?
Correct.
No.
Okay, understood. Thank
you. I measured the width, the curvature, and I used the vehicle model, the DL32. And he can make it in a DL32 if he goes between 6 and 7 miles an hour and he hugs the inside and goes very slow at a crawl.
Okay, sir, you're crossing a line here that forces me to have to ask you a question, and I'm not trying to insult you. It's a matter of housekeeping. You are giving what appears to be expert testimony. Are you an engineer, a traffic engineer, or do you have some special expertise, or are you just simply speaking as a citizen?
Background only, very familiar with the Green Book, Asheville Green Book, been retired, never worked in Delaware, so.
Okay.
Yeah, but worked on a lot of, you know, construction engineering projects and refineries. And
okay, so you have a construction background.
A little bit, yeah, okay. enough. I'd invite you guys to just drive down there and drive around and imagine a big truck trying to make this.
Would it shock you to know that every one of us have driven through that development? Yeah.
Well, then you know
times.
What I'm talking about. You're probably familiar
with
it.
Yeah, yeah.
I know what four people of the city council came and visited. I know one did not, because only one voted against it. And there's no way, if you sat there and watched those kids walk by or tried to drive around that circle faster than 8 miles an hour in a truck, it's over, you know?
Understood. All right, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, who's next? Now, we've heard all about safety, okay? If your testimony is gonna be about safety, I want you to do it in 25 words or less, because we've heard the other 10,000 words already, so.
Good evening, my name is Scott Beagle. I live at 31238 Temple Road in Governors. First of all, I'd like to thank the gentleman and lady who went before me who covered the dozen or more points that I'd written down.
Great.
During these presentations. One minor point I don't think we've addressed at all, it may not be a direct consideration of the County Council,
okay,
is that in the past we have had problems with people from outside using our pool. We solved that by using the key fobs and having a pool assistant to log people in who are unfamiliar to them. If we have all these people driving through, I don't know if they're going to try to sneak into our pool, though it's possible. They may well try to use our tennis courts and pickleball courts without permission and without being part of the governor's community. My main point is that the information that the council presented, it was very thorough, extensive, and as far as I can tell, everything was factual. But I also want to make the point that all that information was available before the County Council approved the Amendment R, or the Condition R. So in my opinion, although I'm obviously not a lawyer and this is not a legal operation, it's my opinion that since all that information was available to the County Council before they approved Condition R, they should not take into account any of that previous information. They should only take into account the information that has come to light since Condition R was approved. Okay. And finally, Condition R was approved as the will of the County Council to meet the concerns of the people, and the presentation by the lawyer in behalf of the developer goes against the previous will of the county. Thank you.
Okay, anybody else? Yes, ma'am.
Ann Borders, 1144 Mall Road. I just want to make one comment. The proposal by Jay Lamb for their replacement for a gate is to put a little street bump and a narrowing. The rest of the road is not going to be narrowed. So for them to offer that as the slowdown does not prevent the speed up. I was a commissioner in St. Michael's, Maryland. Everybody wanted us to take parking off of Main Street. No, because the narrower the road, the better they drive. That wide road will not slow anyone down. 21 miles an hour isn't going to get it. So you need to offer something better to slow down the traffic.
Okay. All right. Okay, who's next? That was good. Who's next? Oh my goodness, are we at the end? Okay, all right. Anyone else like to speak? Seriously, I don't think we had a soul from this side. Okay, now we have one. Come on up here and talk to us. Been talking to him all night.
My name is Toby Port, and I live at 12142 Collins in Governors. Mm-hmm. And I wish there were better disclosure laws when you were buying a home, because it was certainly not, I thought I was buying into a private community. And it really is only tonight that I'm discovering that Stockley Road is going to go all the way out to Kings Highway, come through my community, so that our main road through the community is now de facto will be a public road. Mm-hmm. Anybody can cut through. And knowing my own propensity for cutting through and finding shortcuts, because who wants to spend all their time sitting on Route 9, especially in a high season? It can take several lights just to get through that intersection with Gill's Neck. I don't think anyone can predict today what the increase in traffic is going to be like in another 2 years. I've only been living here since 2021. And the volume of traffic without a gate to keep people who are just wanting to use it as a shortcut is going to be such a deterrent to the quality of life in our community on every, you know, level. And for, I know that this lady, Ms. Wingate, commented about, well, do you have sidewalks? Well, some of us have bad knees, namely me. We don't use the sidewalk. We walk in the streets. The tarmac is a lot easier on creaky knees. And
may not be good for your health otherwise.
I'm gonna say.
Well, it could be dangerous at this point otherwise. I mean, I feel confident. I walk in a community where I don't go faster than the posted speed limit of 21. And I think everybody's like that. When it's your community, you watch out for your neighbors. You know them. You watch out for the kids. But if we are going to have what is being so kind of, I think it's very cavalier to talk about all the time about connectivity. What you're talking about is traffic control. And we're using this one little community, Governors, to alleviate traffic issues on Route 9. And I just don't see how that could possibly be the best solution for those of us who live there. Thank you for listening.
Okay, you're certainly welcome. I'm sure that some of you are aware of this, but for those of you who aren't, your streets are privately maintained by you. They're available to the public to use. You can't put up a gate, keep somebody out necessarily. You're not a gated community. So you're asking to be a gated community, is what it sounds like, you know. But I understand that. Who else would like to speak? Come on up. And then we're going to stop, okay?
Debbie Murray. I live at 31309 Temple Road. Mm-hmm. I spoke at the last meeting. I was not going to speak tonight because I did not want to be repetitive, but I have concerns about some final comments that were made.
Okay.
We welcome visitors to our community. Right. What we don't want is the cut through.
You don't want the through traffic. We right. Get it 100%. Got that 2.5 hours
yeah,
ago.
But we're not trying to be a private community. We're saying when we reference the roads as being private, we're talking about the maintenance of them.
Yeah, that's true.
That's where true. Private ends.
Yeah.
So that's a little unfair. We don't want to be a cut through. We welcome everyone to come. And if we were to have the gate or some other solution and people wanted to come on bike or on foot, come on in. I bought a lot of Halloween candy. Come on in.
There you go.
Thank you.
Thank you. That was good. Okay. All right. Yes, ma'am. This is going to be the last one. Okay. You're on. Nope, you just turned it off. Okay. Now you're on.
Hi, my name is Lorraine Whitfield. I'm at 11079 Marvel. I think a lot of these, you know, when we talk about plans, they were designed before we had, you know, technology, GPSs, Apple Maps, Google Maps, Waze. You know, I remember a time when I had to get a Montgomery County map and figure out, okay, look at a paper and figure out where I was going. Now all these apps, they all have the features where they say, okay, if you go this way, you're going to save a minute, or they're going to give you the fastest route. And for a lot of people that are not familiar with our area, you know, we're fortunate to be in a beautiful resort area. They're going to the beach, they're going to downtown Lewis. You know, Waze is going to say, oh, you're going to save a minute if you turn right onto Stockley and then go through and do this. And I'm worried, part of my worry with this is that that type of thing is going to be the norm rather than the exception, where all these apps are going to be directing people to our neighborhood because it's going to save them 30 seconds on their commute. Thank you.
You're welcome. And you're right about the apps. Okay. All right, there's nobody waving at me, so I'm not going to ask, but there's nobody jumping up and down feeling like they didn't get a chance to speak.
But okay. Mr. Wheatley, could I say one thing before we close, too?
I see a hand in the box.
Well, you got to raise it high enough for me to see it. I don't see any hands. I just see people craning to see who the hand is, but there's no hand. There's a hand. All right, come on. Last one. Don't say safety in traffic.
Hi, my name is Sam Hammond. I live in 11491 Moore Road. Everything is covered.
Okay.
Safety, I'm not gonna. But I have a question regarding the commercial area. I am very concerned that when the trucks unload and then there is a traffic jam on Kings Highway.
Okay, I appreciate your question. Unfortunately, it's not part of this public hearing. That the discussion of that commercial area is not what we're doing tonight.
I understand, so I really can't answer that question. But it will impact us for the traffic coming.
I understand that. And there either was an opportunity for that or there will be an opportunity for that. But I appreciate what you're saying, but okay. I really can't address it tonight. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Yes, sir. Thank you. Thanks for coming. Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been remarkably cooperative and patient.
Mr. Wheatley, if I could make one public service announcement.
Yes, go ahead.
Ms. Noah Stevenson probably proud, but you know, what occurs to me sitting up here is that, you know, we've talked a lot about our comprehensive plans, and we do those every 10 years. The last one we had was 2018, and we had a lot of outreach that went into that, and there's a lot of public input that goes into it. And we're actually getting ready to gear up for the next one. It's just somewhat hard to believe. I feel like we just adopted the last one. But it sounds to me like a lot of folks that were testifying today weren't here for that last go-round. So I would just invite all of you all to pay attention to that process, because we will have outreach throughout the county. The local fire companies usually we try to do meetings at and then have charrettes and things like that where we take input. And it's not something that takes 6 months. It took like a year and a half last time. And what goes into the county comp plan, which Mr. Wheatley is fond of saying is your comp plan, is the results of that input we get from the public. So my sort of closing remark, without anything having to do with this particularly, though, is get active in that process. You know, we're getting ready to gear up for it again, so pay attention to it. You all certainly have, it sounds like, firsthand experience of land planning and the other 12 chapters that we have to deal with, so, you know, we'd appreciate your input when we get around to that. So thank you, Mr.
I would like to just make one more comment, too. There was reference made about our grassy walks and the interconnection that we do with that. What we have done with that in the past has been for emergency access, and we haven't required a paved road there. It's not interconnectivity per se. It's been
emergency access,
and I just wanted to clear that up. Like, that's different than what we're talking about here tonight.
Yeah, and that's more just the situation where they're completely unrelated.
There's no other access to that development.
Right.
This just gives a route that somebody with an emergency vehicle could get in there.
Okay.
I would just note that conditional uses come with lots of stipulations from the county when they're approved. And so one of those in this case was the interconnectivity requirement. Lots of them have had those kinds of requirements added to them in the last few years. That's typical in conditional uses. Otherwise, maybe this development may not have been approved, and it was part of a comprehensive, you know, development that was shared at the time that it was reviewed and approved. So just, you know, for everybody's trying to do the best that they can with these situations, and, you know, just want to make sure folks understand, you know, there's positive intent behind all of this, and there's lots of conditional use conditions that you probably are thankful for. This might be one that is a little irritating, but appreciate your patience, and thanks for all the feedback.
Okay. All right. Well, once again, thank you all for coming. The other thing I would encourage you to do is get involved with the advocacy groups that are out there now. I mean, you know, there's strength in numbers, and you know, we do have a very specific process for the land use plan. You'll hear all about it. Those groups will be on it because they monitor everything that happens, so they'll know about it. You know, get involved, because if we don't, if we don't hear from you, we don't hear from you. So we can't read your minds. So, all right. With that being said, we're going to close the public hearing. Now, you're going to all want to get up and start talking. Okay, believe it or not, we have two more public hearings, so we're going to keep rolling. So what I'm going to ask you to do is, if you're not going to remain for the rest of the evening to see if we make a decision, which we probably won't, just going to ask you if you would leave quietly, okay, quickly and quietly, so that we can continue to do our business. Thank you all for coming.